Good morning, everyone, and welcome to those worshiping in Minnetonka, those in Woodside, and those, of course, worshiping online with us, wherever you are in the world, in fact. Glad we can be together. Psalm 52, 8 and 9 is the theme verse for Westwood in 2018. I'm encouraging you to memorize it, put it in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, that hope would be part of your life and your journey. And our theme for 2018 is keeping hope alive. And if we were in the ancient Hebrew temple courts, when it came to reading the word of God, we would stand together and declare it with confidence. And we're going to do that now. Let's stand together. And would you join me and let's celebrate the hope that we have in the promises of the Lord with these words. But I am like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. For what you have done, I will always praise you in the presence of your faithful people, and I will hope in your name, for your name is good. You may be seated. No matter your circumstance today, the call is for us to keep the name of God before us because God's name is always good and it's filled with hope. For those who are guests, we're delighted that you're with us, but we've been in a series for a number of weeks now on hope, doing a deep dive on that important subject. Reminding ourselves that we use the vocabulary of hope all of the time, but we don't always experience the power of hope. But it's God's intention from the very beginning that we would feel hope and experience hope throughout our lives. And sometimes it's difficult for that to become our reality, and so that's why we're doing this series. We've defined hope throughout the course of these weeks this way, the ongoing feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. And we're borrowing from Louise Smead's book, Keeping Hope Alive. If you want to do a deeper dive, I encourage you to get the book, where he says sometimes we don't know how to keep hope alive because we don't know its DNA, that it has three ingredients, wishing, imagining, and believing, that we have to wish for something to happen in order to keep hope alive. We have to imagine it happening. That is, that it would take us from where we are today to where we want to be in order to keep hope alive. That we would believe it's possible for God to bring it about in order to keep hope alive. Last week, we did some focused study on the issue of our own life throughout our life that we have to make hope adjustments. And hope adjustments are just part of the journey. And hopeful people just adjust old hopes to new realities. And it happens all the time. Like when the Minnesota Vikings lost to, I guess it was the Eagles. And we needed a hope adjustment in that reality. And today, now, the tug of war between hope and worry related to them has gone. No more worry. We're free for another season, right? And we want to wish well both the teams coming to the Twin Cities. Glad we can host them. Let's be good citizens, unlike citizens of other great cities. Let's just show our very, very best and wish them well. In fact, we have one of our own Westwood members, Bo Allen's on one of the teams, the Philadelphia Eagles team. So we want to wish him well. But, you know, that's the game of football. The weight of hope in the game of life is far deeper and far more serious. Today, we're going to look at the habits of hope that keep hope alive in those times of deepest despair and in those times when we have tragedy and hardship come immeasurably in significant ways. And in such times, it's not uncommon to hear people say, where's God in that? And why does he allow so much suffering? And of course, the implication of the words is that God is not there, or there is no God. And we were left without hope if that's the case. And the psalmist uses metaphors to describe those God-forsaken places. Those God-forsaken places are the places that represent our deepest helplessness and hopelessness in life's journey. And what's fascinating about the psalmist, he does not invalidate that those experiences are indeed part of our life and journey. They are. But he declares in the psalm, he tells God that he expects that God is going to be precisely in those places when we go through them. And he's reminding the people of God that God is with us even in those places when we feel like he's silent or why isn't he doing more? And he indeed is there for us. One of the metaphors that the psalmist uses is hope at the edge of the sea. The psalmist of that day and the people of that day had a mindset of the edge of the sea representing the rim of the earth, saying that that's when the sea stops. And if you actually got to the destination of the edge of the sea, that if you took one step further, there would be a free fall And you'd find yourself in a bottomless abyss, in an endless nothing. And if you took that step just too far, you'd end up in this black hole of infinite nothingness. So being at the edge of the sea is a metaphor used by the psalmist that says, when you sense like the foundation of your life is completely cracking, like the bottom could just fall through and you with it, where is God in that? And the promise from the psalmist and the word of God is that he is with us. That when you feel so completely helpless and hopeless, when the trouble of your life is so great and so deep, when you feel like you're in the free fall, there he is with his mighty right hand to lift us up. In fact, this is how he declares it beautifully so. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, the edge of the sea, there your hand will guide me and your right hand will hold me fast. It's this beautiful reminder that the most important thing we ever hope for from God is God himself. So even at the edge of the sea, when I'm helpless and hopeless and I'm in that free fall reality, the mighty right hand of God is there to hold me up and to guide my steps into the journey. Well, Dan and Aaliyah Dye in 2017 have lived on the edge of the sea. And I've had the journey to be with them, along with my wife and many families here within our Westwood Church family. And we have seen them keep hope alive. It's interesting, a hopeful person is someone who has turned hoping into a habit. And research indicates that those people who live with the habit of hope live better than those who live with the habit of despair, that they're happier people, that they respond more effectively to crisis, that they're still stricken but not crushed by tragedy, that there's something undergirding that somehow believes that even good can come out of those hardest given places. So how do hopeful people manage to keep their hope alive? And how can despairing people get to be more hopeful? Well, by establishing habits of hope. So I've invited Dan to come and share the habits of hope that have helped shore up their foundation. We go back all the way to college days where we were friends, but deep in that friendship and the launch of Westwood when he and his family helped launch Westwood. And he was our, as you've heard, our board chair for 10 years. We taught together for years at Bethel University in their MBA program. We've learned together the rhythm of leadership and management and trusting God and the importance of his vision for our lives. And I would trust Dan Dye with my life. And I have marveled at Aaliyah and Dan as they have trusted God to keep hope alive in the hardest of life circumstances. So I invited him to come and share the story as a real life story of how it happens through real habits that strengthen our foundation. Would you join me in welcoming Dan Dye to Westwood today? Thanks, Dan. Thank you, buddy.
Well, it's great to be back, and I just want to start by just thanking the Westwood family for the just incredible support that you've poured out to Aaliyah and to me and to our family. Westwood was our church home for 20 years, and even though we had been gone for 2.5 years when the accident occurred, we felt you holding us up and being right there for us. We experienced the church at its very best. Joel was my first call after I had reached and talked to my kids, and he was in Denver with me and at Aaliyah's bedside praying over her 2 days after the accident. Westwood prayed for us as a church body on two occasions, as Dave mentioned. One of those was on January 22nd. That's a picture of Aaliyah watching that service live, and it was the first full day of her breathing without a ventilator. And we welcomed those prayers that day. And we have many friends from Westwood that came to visit Aaliyah during her 3 months in the hospital. We had countless numbers of you that we know and many that we don't know that stood by us and prayed for us. We love this church. We're so thankful for Westwood. As a quick update, Aaliyah is doing just incredibly well. The fact that she is alive and active today is a miracle. She recently completed the last of her outpatient therapy work at Craig Hospital, and her lungs have continued to slowly expand. She is left with a narrow airway that's the result of two emergency intubations and having a tracheostomy and then a trach in her throat for nearly 3 months. And that left her with stenosis around her vocal cords that keep them from opening fully. So her airway is about half of what a normal airway should be. Her brain has healed amazingly from the traumatic brain injury that she suffered, and she has recovered most of her memories other than the 3 weeks immediately following the accident. And we know that, especially with the brain injury, there could be further issues down the road due to the severity and trauma of what happened. But we stand here today just in awe of God's healing power and thankful that he chose to save and to heal Aaliyah. You know, a lot of people have said to me, boy, your faith is so strong. And I just want to be honest with you. This is all about learning and finding hope through weakness, through brokenness, through challenge, and through, at times, desperation. And as I've dealt with things that I have never felt before, and as I've explored the depths of my soul in ways that I would not have ever even imagined, I've learned to trust in God and to trust in him fully and rely on him completely. So any strength that I have had has come from him. Hope has been a lifeline for me. Hope brought me into the arms of our Savior and gave me the strength and the courage to keep moving forward. So this isn't a tidy little three-point sermon with all the answers, but rather a story of struggle, of ups and downs, of uncertainty and fear, but most importantly, of hope. I learned a lot about hope in 2017. Our lives changed so dramatically and quickly that Saturday afternoon on January 7th. And I have to admit that immediately after Aaliyah went headfirst into that tree at full speed, and as I ran to her laying lifeless face down in the snow, I felt as hopeless as I have ever felt. I thought I would lose my wife, and I felt afraid and alone. But God was present even in that very moment, and he began to show me the vastness of his love for his children. And out of that initial hopelessness, I have experienced a hope in a way that has changed me forever. So when I think about the greatest lessons learned and about keeping hope alive and making hope a habit even, perhaps the most difficult is simply just to start with hope. Our instinct is to think of the most negative outcome, the worst case scenario. We quickly slip to the dark places and we worry over the what ifs. But when we let our minds run to these desperate places, we miss out on the calming, peace-giving promise of hope that is there for us. And going to hope first brings clarity and reassurance and helps us to cope with the most difficult of circumstances before we're overwhelmed by them. And if we can start making hope a habit, we will feel God's presence in deep and rich ways. The first few hours after Aaliyah's accident are a blur overall, but there are several crystal clear moments that I will never forget. Because of the critical nature of her condition and the fact that she was going to be airlifted, I was not allowed to ride in the ambulance that took Aaliyah down a steep and winding 5-mile road from where the accident happened to the main road that was the closest point where the Flight for Life helicopter could land. So we followed the ambulance, and when we got down to the highway, I expected them to whisk her immediately out of the ambulance and into the helicopter. But that didn't happen. Time dragged. Fear crept in. Those worst-case tendencies started to take over. I even panicked in fear for a moment when I saw one of my coworkers and friends leaning over to talk to another friend. I was absolutely convinced that he was telling him that Aaliyah was gone, and I was sure they were trying to figure out how to tell me the news. In that moment, as they gathered around me and saw my panic and reassured me that she was still alive, I realized I was in need of hope like never before. I needed to start with hope, and I had to fill myself with God's promises of hope. The first responder on the scene was the chief of the Leadville Fire Department, and he had come down with the ambulance, and he saw me pacing and shivering as I anxiously waited for something to happen. He invited me to come into the cab of the ambulance with him to warm up. He asked me how I was holding up, and I told him that we had a strong faith, and I didn't know what to do, but all I could do right now was to pray and to trust God. He then offered to pray with me, and he prayed this beautiful prayer of hope. And as I began to find those moments of hope, it helped me to offset the fear, and it brought me a measure of peace. And they finally did transfer Aaliyah to the helicopter after this extensive prep work that was necessary to enable her to fly. And as we drove to the hospital, not knowing if she would survive that flight, I leaned further into that hope. And each time a dark thought would start to rise in me, I remember saying to myself again and again, Lord, I need hope, and Aaliyah needs healing. And I would just say, hope and healing, hope and healing, hope and healing, again and again, and push the dark thoughts away. And I told someone, and until someone told me that Aaliyah was gone, I would have the hope that she would live. And I prayed that hope would be my starting point. The Psalms are filled with verses that give us insight and direction around hope. Psalm 39:7 makes it clear what we should look for, what our starting point should be. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. We don't need to look any further. We can start with hope. Instead of looking all around searching for answers, we simply need to look to God. Our hope is in him. And God offers hope to us, and it can and should be our initial reaction. A practical way to start with hope as a habit is to begin your day with a prayer of commitment to God, putting your hope in him. And when we start our day with hope, it helps us to recognize our reliance on God and to embrace the hope that is in him for that given day and for every day. Psalm 119:147 says, I rise before dawn and cry for help. I have put my hope in your word. You know, this image of rising before dawn, before the day even starts, and asking for God's help and putting our hope in God is a great way to think about the habit of starting with hope. What if you began each day with a prayer for hope and then recited Psalm 52:8-9 as Joel's asked you to do, the Westwood's theme verse for 2018? That would be a great way to make it a habit to start with hope and to be ready for whatever you may face that day. You know, God always wants what's best for you. So start with hope by putting your worries and concerns at the cross, knowing that he will be there for you. And don't wait until you have to hope for something. Hope in him always. He knows your deepest needs, and he promises to take all those needs and just wrap his arms around you every step of the way. So start with hope. Put your love, your trust, your faith in him. And when we start with hope, the next habit then, though, is to stay with it, to stay with hope. And the reality is, even if we do start with hope, it's so easy for hope to slip away. We start to think we're in control and we don't need any help, or we begin to slip into despair or uncertainty when we face a hardship and we forget about hope. To be able to call on hope when we need it most, we need to stay with hope consistently and confidently. There were a few very difficult days when we wondered if Aaliyah would make it. And I remember driving home late one night after one of those challenging days. We had met with the doctor, the pulmonologist that was trying to deal with her lungs that afternoon, Jordan, my son, and I. And she had told us that we were between a rock and a hard place. And those words just kept haunting me. They were draining my hope. And I often found encouragement from music on my drives, but that night, the lyrics of the song that came on were so hard to hear. For me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. And I wondered, is God preparing me and telling me that it is time for him to take Aaliyah? And I really wanted to change the station or turn the radio off altogether, but I knew I had to stay with hope. And so I listened to that song and I called out to God in hope that Aaliyah would come through okay. But I also had to come to grips with the reality that even if he was going to take Aaliyah, my hope was still in him. And I embraced at that time that no matter what happened, no one could take hope away from me. And I knew I had to not only start with hope, I needed to stay with hope, even if things were very hard, and even if Aaliyah didn't make it. And I want to pause for a minute and just acknowledge there are times when the story doesn't have an happy ending, when the video doesn't end well with smiling faces. A loved one is lost, a dream is dashed, a relationship is broken. And I hurt so badly for those situations, and I'm so much more sensitized to them today. But I know that God is true and constant, and the need to stay with hope is heightened even further to help us get through these darkest of hours. The reality of this importance of staying with hope hit me again nearly 6 months later. At that time, Aaliyah had been doing really well overall, but she had a recurring situation where granulation tissue, like scar tissue that's responding in your body against those tubes and the trach that was in her throat, it kept growing in her throat, blocking her already narrow airway and making it difficult for her to breathe. And despite repeated surgeries and steroid shots to remove the tissue, it just kept growing back. And in late June, Aaliyah went in for her third throat surgery. And the granulation tissue had grown back again, but this time more rapidly than expected. And what we thought was going to be a minor and quick surgery turned into a major ordeal. The extent of the surgery left Aaliyah's throat so swollen that her oxygen levels dropped to the point that she had to be intubated again. Back on the ventilator, back in intensive care. After all that we had been through, to be at this point 6 months later just did not seem possible. It was such a frustrating setback. And when the doctor told me that given these concerning developments, he might have to put the trach back in, I was devastated. And as I was sitting in the waiting room for those hours that day and starting to lose that tug of war between worry and anxiety and hope, I came across Psalm 71:14, which just jumped out to me. As for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. And I kept going back to that, and it said, as for me, I will always have hope. And I grabbed that and held on to it and said, I will always have hope. The situation had brought me back to the early days, and I started to feel those pangs of desperation, of fear, of uncertainty. But that verse brought me back to hope, and I knew I needed to stay there. And thankfully, God answered those prayers that day, and the steroids kicked in, and the surgery proved to be successful, and she was able to breathe on her own again the next day and has not had any granulation tissue return. You know, an important way to stay with hope is to let others hope with you and even hope for you sometimes. We had a hope-filled experience with Caring Bridge. I would put posts out there every day when Aaliyah was in the hospital and requests for prayer, and people responded incredibly. We were just blown away by that and so thankful that people would take the time to read and to pray, and many would comment on the site or send texts or emails in response to those posts. And we fed off of that hope that people gave us with their comments, their love, and their support. And there was a steady stream of hope flowing from others. And I found myself looking forward to the encouragement, support, and hope that so many sent our way. And I think if I was honest, many of the times I wrote those posts just because I knew somebody would respond and I would get that hope from them. I recently went back and downloaded all the Caring Bridge posts and comments into one document. And I knew I had written a couple posts specifically on hope, and I wanted to find those. And when I did a word search for hope to try to find them, I was stunned to see the word hope was there over 500 times. Comment after comment after comment from people mentioned hope. And I came across a comment from our dear friend Teresa Vandergalen, who has experienced loss of her own, and she's been here at Westwood from the beginning. And the comment really highlights how when we help and encourage each other, we keep hope alive. I'm just going to read it to you. This was on January 16th, about 9 days after the accident. Dan, your sweet Aaliyah shines through in all circumstances. It's not a surprise to any of us. Aaliyah has shined the hope of Christ on so many. She has lifted me up and brought me Christ's hope in some very dark times. Thank you for the updates. I anxiously await them each day. I continue to pray for complete healing and for his hope and peace that passes all understanding to guard your heart and mind. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. Psalm 130:5. In your name I will hope, for your name is good. Does that verse look familiar? That's your theme verse. That was a year ago, Psalm 52:9. His name and his word are our hope. I praise God for Aaliyah's hope in the Lord. I praise God for your hope in the Lord. I send loves and hugs to you all, Teresa. You know, God uses us as messengers of his hope, and we can stay with hope as we give hope to others and as we receive hope from others. Take a moment to encourage and lift up someone in need. Not only will you help them stay with hope, it will help you stay with hope. Another way to stay with God's hope is to go to God's word to keep you on the path of hope. As we saw earlier in Psalm 119:147, and just in Teresa's quote of Psalm 130:5, the Bible clearly says we can put our hope in God's word. Hope is there. His word is hope. And in Psalm 119:114, it says, "You are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word." Writing those Caring Bridge posts, I was amazed at the breadth of God's word available to us and how I would always find verses of encouragement, of hope in his word, helping me to stay with hope again and again when I needed it most. God's word is a resource for you to build the habit of staying with hope. And the third habit is to pray with hope. And when we pray with hope, we pray with anticipation and expectation, not just praying for what we want, but praying with hope for God's will to prevail and for Him to answer our prayers according to His purpose. And the hardest part is often the waiting. We want answers now, and we can find ourselves telling God exactly what He should do and when He should do it. But we can pray and then wait in peace when we pray with hope. The habit of praying with hope is so helpful, and it enables us to wait upon the Lord. Knowing God is listening to our prayers gives us hope, and seeing God's hand in the midst of our hurt gives us hope. But waiting for answers to prayer isn't easy. But God promises to be our strength. And when we fear the unknown, praying with hope brings comfort. When we begin to doubt, praying with hope brings confidence. When we aren't sure what to do, praying with hope brings clarity. So rather than wait in fear and wait in worry and wait in wonder, we can wait in hope for the Lord. We put our trust in Him and we experience His help, His shield, His love. Psalm 33:20 speaks of waiting in hope. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. He is there for us. We wait upon Him. We also have to recognize that there are times when our prayers are not answered the way that we hoped they would be. This happened many times over the course of the ups and downs and the unexpected outcomes of Aaliyah's healing journey. But one situation stands out. In addition to the traumatic brain injury, Aaliyah's biggest issue was her lungs and therefore her breathing. You know, the 17 days on her back in intensive care created a lot of problems with fluid buildup around her lungs, leading to the lungs partially collapsing. And Aaliyah had to have fluid drained while in ICU and then again when she first got to Craig Hospital. And then as her condition really started to improve at Craig, and we were so optimistic, it suddenly shifted for the worse. An x-ray showed that there was, again, a likely buildup of fluid coming up around her lungs. And when they took her for the procedure that day, they ended up draining over 1.5 liters of fluid from around her lungs. And we met with a lung surgeon, and he told us they would watch her for a few days, but if the fluid returned around her lungs again, it would require a serious lung surgery. And we prayed so hard for there to be no fluid. We called on God again and again to keep the fluid at bay. And we went with hope over to the hospital a few days later where they would do an ultrasound to get a really clear and complete picture of the area around her lungs. And I'll never forget when that nurse just matter-of-factly, just doing her job, doing the ultrasound, didn't know our circumstances or the broader situation, or what we'd been praying for, what we'd been hoping for. She just started moving that monitor around and said matter-of-factly, "Oh yeah, you've got a lot of fluid built up around those lungs." And we were so disappointed. But we knew we shouldn't stop praying or lose hope, but we did need to make a hope adjustment. Understanding that God knew the outcome before it happened and that we had to keep our trust in Him. So we shifted our prayers from keeping the fluid away to a successful lung surgery, and we continued to pray with hope. And I love Psalm 31:24, which again reminds us to hope in the Lord. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Pray with hope, knowing that God will answer your prayers in His time. You know, sometimes we don't understand how hard or difficult things fit into God's plan. But hope is not bound by our circumstances. We can have hope in all circumstances. And when we give Him control, when we submit to Him, and we seek to do His will and honor Him in all things, we can trust in Him fully to carry us through whatever hardship might come our way. We can have hope. God is in control, so put your hope in Him. God loves you deeply. Put your hope in Him. God promises to care for you and protect you. Put your hope in Him. Let the God of hope wash over you and experience the fullness of the life God wants for you. Have hope in Him regardless of what you may be facing, knowing that we serve a great and mighty and powerful God. The vastness of God, the depth of His love, the reservoir of hope is so deep and so wide that we cannot fathom. So drink it in, embrace it, benefit from it. The spring of God's hope will never run dry. Start with hope, stay with hope, and pray with hope. These are habits to live by. These are habits to keep hope alive. I want to close with a verse that has taken on such deep meaning to me this year. It's Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now Leah's going to come up and share a few words with you. Thank you.
Thank you. It's so good to be here. It is being home. I love this family here, and I just enjoy being here with you. I just wanted to say that God gave me a verse that I clung to through the whole time that I was in the hospital and as I was recovering, and it is Deuteronomy 33:27, and it says, "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." And I came to know God when I was a teenager. That God that I got to know then was the God that was carrying me through the difficult times and the uncertainty. And I just want to say that whatever's going on in your life, anytime you need to be carried by the loving God who knows your name, just as he knows my name and knows what's going on in my life, he is there. Those arms are faithful. He is strong. He is merciful.
I say, Dan, thank you for having the courage and being willing to be so transparent to share your journey of trust in God and the habits of hope that have helped keep hope alive for you, help us as well. That real story is powerful for us. We know some of you might be in a place right now where you just need a dose of hope, and our prayer is that today you will sense the presence of the Lord, him lifting you up and guiding your next step. I'd like to pray for Aaliyah's ongoing healing, but also for our own church family and for any of you who might be in that given place as well. So let me invite you to stand in Minnetonka Woodside. Join me as I offer this prayer. Father God, thank you for goodness and grace. We can't imagine living life without you and your guidance, your mighty right hand that lifts us up. 1 year later, it is a reminder of all that you do to stand with Aaliyah and to give thanks for the healing already that has happened and to pray that it would be ongoing in the months and years ahead. For Dan and Aaliyah and their marriage, that has been a light of hope for all of us who have traveled with them. Continue to let that light of Jesus in them shine throughout the world. And Father, I pray for those who are in that place of need today, that they could use a dose of hope, that they would start their day with hope, knowing that that's your starting place. You come to us in the midst of whatever we go through, always with hope. That we would stay in hope, knowing that you are faithful and always your mercies are new every day. You are the staying God. You will never leave us or forsake us. And that, Father, we would pray for hope. And even when we're hard-pressed because of the feelings of helplessness and hopelessness, to put words to our greatest need, you, by the gift of Jesus in us, by the presence of the Holy Spirit, tell us that you intercede on our behalf when we can't find words to do so. You are the interceding God. So might we be mindful that habits make us hopeful, and might we keep hope alive through the fuel that comes through your good grace and love found in Jesus. Be with us to that end, that you would receive glory, honor, and praise, and that we would live with hope today and always, in Jesus' name.